We're going to continue on going through our series, Journey Through the Bible. If you look at the top of your outline, I think it just says Journey the Bible. I forgot the word through. I was kind of rushing a little bit when I'd done that. You know, most of you probably wouldn't even noticed it, but I did notice it after I printed them off, so I didn't want to have to reprint them off and spend extra money. So Numbers chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to head right into our lesson this morning. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their poles, for 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies, and with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us this morning, Lord, that you, your Holy Spirit, Lord, will, Lord, just open up our eyes to the purpose of the Bible and to the purpose of the books of the Bible, and Lord, how they intertwine and how they work together, and Lord, teach us the lessons that we need to learn today, and Lord, work in our hearts and work in our midst. Lord, there's a lot of things that we have great needs of. I'm sure each and every person in this room has a special need in one way or another, but Lord, we all need to become more like you, and Lord, I pray that you guys help us this morning to strive to become more like you, and just give us a burning desire to want to love you and learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you see the first word in the book of Numbers. Anybody, what is it? It's in Numbers 1:1, the first word. And, okay, what is that? That's something that says it's talking about what was before. So it's a continuation in the story. And that's the first thing, is how the story continues. Now, we're not going to get the chance, as we get farther along, we're not going to get the chance to go through every book that we've talked about, but it's important that we get this. The Bible works together. It is a story that's being told that reveals God unto the people here in this world. We saw in Genesis, we saw creation, we saw the fall of man, and those things answers questions for us. You know, how do we get here? Why are we like we are? And then we talked about the promise of a Savior. They showed how that someday Jesus was going to come. And it says promises given to Abraham and his descendants. So in this book, they show how God created the heaven and the earth, shows how man fell, and man, because of man's fallen nature, they have a sin nature on them, teaches us all those things. And then they talk about the Hebrew nation, the promises that were given to Abraham. God calls a man out and says, through this man, he is going to bless this nation, and by that, bless the world, and talk about his descendants. And he said, okay, that's the book of Genesis. It's over there. It's not over there. It continues on to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, God, we have Abraham's descendants, and we have Abraham's great-grandchildren sitting here. And we have the story of redemption. Joseph had went up to Egypt, and because of Egypt, they were down in Egypt for those many, many years. God calls them. God calls his people out of the land of Egypt. He calls them out to be a light to the rest of the world. We talked about how God gave them a testimony. I like that. How you think about it. God gave them such a tremendous testimony. All the world heard that God defeated the God of Israel, defeated the great God of Pharaoh. They made Pharaoh God himself, and all those other gods that Egypt had, the most powerful nation on earth. God had destroyed and defeated them and left them in rubble, and for the most parts. And he brings them together and he makes them to a nation. They bring them out to Mount Sinai. We hear that story. We hear the giving of the laws, the Ten Commandments. But in Leviticus, we see it's even a step farther. It teaches how sinful men can be rightly related to God in worship. So in Leviticus, he's brought them out. He's brought them to himself. He has them there, and he's going to teach them what needs to be done for them to be able to be rightly related to him. And for him, for a sinful person to truly be able to come to a holy God and be able to worship them. And we talked about last week, we talked about the priests, and we talked about the blood sacrifice. We talked about the feast and the separation. So you see here at verse number 1 and the chapter number 1 of Numbers, the word "and" is there because it is telling the rest of the story. It's still talking about the same group of people. It's still talking about Moses that was introduced to us in Exodus. It's still talking about the tabernacle, which was introduced to us back in Exodus. It's still talking about, and you'll see there's a lot of different things in here, but this morning I want to get more than anything else. It's the continuation of the story. And it's important that we realize this. The Bible works together as one unit because it was inspired by the same person. It was inspired by God. And that's the reason why they can be written. These things can be written, give prophecy that will be thousands of years before it's ever fulfilled. That's how it can be true. The books of Numbers. Now, this is pretty easy. It is called Numbers because of the counting of the people. God tells them to number the people. Here in verse number 2, it says, take ye the sum of all the congregation, the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles. Now, the word poles there, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't look it up, but this is from remembering, hearing it from another speaker or from a teacher. They talk about the poles being their head. So that's they're counting them by heads there. So it talked about God, and the reason why God does this, and you'll see this later on, God wanted them all to be accounted for. He wanted them all to know their place. He wanted them all to know their responsibility. They weren't going to opt out. They weren't going to shy away. They were all getting ready to go over to the land of Canaan. You say, Pastor, the land of Canaan, they just got out of Egypt. See, there's a little confusion when you get to the Word of God. It only took them 13 months to get to the bank of Jordan. And we're going to look at that in a minute. And that for that 1 year, God was giving them the law, teaching them how to be a nation, but it only took them 1 month for God to get them ready and prepare to go into the land of the promised land. And we'll see here, he says, they were there, they were right, God brought them right to Jordan, and they were ready to take over the land of the Canaanites. God had blessed them, and they were there, and they were ready. And you see, the book of Numbers is a story of how God teaches his people obedience. He's called these people. He's given these people a testimony. Now he has to teach and train these people to be obedient. You say, train people to be obedient. If you've ever had children, you know you have to train them to be obedient. They don't usually learn it the first time. Usually it's something they have to be taught over and over and over. And once they finally learn to obey because they have to, then you got to teach them the right way to obey and the right reasons to obey. And this is the whole book of Exodus. You say, Pastor, I thought it was about the 40 years of wandering in the desert. That's exactly what it's about. The people were disobedient, and God had to teach them through the wilderness to make them able to be able to go in and take the promised land to be his people. So what about the other people? They weren't ready. They had their chance to go into the Canaan. And out of the 3 million that passed over through the Red Sea, there was two that was ready. And those two is the ones that we need to feel sorry for because they had to waste the 40 years in the wilderness with other people here. So we hit the book of Numbers. Look at this connection here. I mentioned it earlier. Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, it says, and it came to pass in the first month, in the second year. Now look what it's saying here. I know you guys know your calendars. If it was something here that we were using the American calendar, it says, first month of the second year. The first month would be January. We all got that. It's different in the Jewish. On the first day of the month that the tabernacle was reared up. So that God gave them the instruction about the tabernacle. They came and it was reared up. God's glory came upon it. His presence was filled in it. The nation of Israel experienced a great, great day that day. And then here, but you look here, Numbers 1:1. Look at the comparison, the connection here. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation. Look what it says. On the first day of the second month. So what do you got here? You got the first day of the first month and you got the first day of the second month. That's usually about just 1 month. So you only have 1 month that you take from Exodus, where he has trained the people and taught the people and given them laws, prepared them as a nation, brought them together, taught them how to worship God. And in 1 month's time, he brings them to Numbers. So it says, on the first day of the second month and the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. So we got here second year. We're talking about the same year here. It only took them the 30. God wanted them just to go into the land. He wanted them to obey. God wasn't out there to set them up to fail. God desired to bless this people. He had called this people out. And notice the time here. The tabernacle was finished. The glory of the Lord descended upon it and filled the tabernacle on the first day of the first month. And then God commanded Moses to number the people on the first day of the second month. Some people think, well, they had to go around, wander around in the wilderness for all this time. The only time they were in the wilderness was during that year. And that year, what were they doing? In that year, Moses was out on Mount Sinai. You remember, he was up in the law. And when he was up there, how long was he up there? He was up there 40 days and 40 nights. So there was a time, there was a place there. There was a time of celebration after the parting of the Red Sea. There was things that were done in this time. They received the law. In this time, you got the book of Leviticus. And it fills in the gaps there. God didn't just have them sitting out there for no reason. God was training them and teaching them, this is how you can be blessed by God. During that year, that Israel becomes a nation. It receives this law. And it understands how to approach and worship God. They are ready to enter into the land God promised them. God makes them all capable and ready to enter into what God had intended for them. But the problem is the people weren't ready. That's why you have in the book of Numbers, it opens at Kadesh Barnea. You know where it closes at? The exact same spot. It was 40 years later, but they're in the exact same spot. You say, boy, that's sad. It is sad, but I wonder how many times, and once again, there's application that as you hear the story, there's application how we can apply that to our life. We look at when the moment we were saved, and then we look at many years later, maybe when we're getting ready to die, in our Christian walk, many times, we're still really close to that spot where we got saved at, than even when we die. That's not what God intends for us. God saves us to learn more about Him, to grow in Him, to become more like His Son, to do things for Him, to glorify Him, to win people to Christ, to become leaders, to become teachers. I know not everybody's going to be a teacher, but we can all be a leader in some sense in what we do. And here, the Numbers opens and closes with the children of Israel in the same spot. They didn't stay here for the 40 years. They went out. We know the wanderings in the wilderness. We got stories from the wanderings in the wilderness. We hear the murmurings of the wandering in the wilderness. We see the wars that happened in there. But what God wanted to do was to take them over to the land. He originally just wanted to take them over to the land, but some things happened in that first month. Now, I want to get back to this. Understand, they saw the glory of the Lord. Within the last 13 months, they've seen Egypt, them taken out of Egypt. They've seen the parting of the Red Sea. They've seen the glory of the Mount Sinai when God came and the thundering down, and he saw the presence of God upon the tabernacle. These 13 months were action-packed. All they had to do was remember and have their vision of what God was teaching them to head into this land. But it didn't take them long to mess up. And if we're honest with ourselves, it doesn't usually take us very long to mess up either. When we're saying we're going to live for God, I'm going to read my Bible this year every day, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do this, and God speaks my heart, God wants us to do this, sometimes it doesn't take us very long to mess up. But that's what the book is about. It talks about the Israelites, God's chosen people, messing up, and what God does for them, and teaches them, and shows them, and the patience and the comfort that God shows and demonstrates them. So this is the book of Numbers is not just a historical evidence of what happened to the Israelites. It's to teach us lessons and about obedience. When the book opens, they are in Kadesh Barnea, and all they have to do is obey God, and God will take them in. They started to murmur and listen to the people they shouldn't be listening to. The mixed multitude, if we get time, we'll get to the mixed multitude. There was a group of people that went out with the Israelites that were not Israelites, that were kind of stragglers. Sometimes some of the Egyptians that maybe fell in love with the Jewish girl or something like that. Yep. The mixed multitude caused them a lot of problems because they began to listen to the wrong people. They did not listen to God and His law and to His leaders. Instead, they listened to this mixed multitude. The next thing you know, they are disobeying God and they are being chastised. Mm-hmm. So when you get to the end of the book, they are where? In the exact same spot. It's different people this time. But in the exact, think about 40 years wasted there from this nation.
Yes.
Sad. But once again, what application do we make that for our lives? I know when I got saved at 9, and when I know that I did not grow like I should until I finally got my heart completely right with God and surrendered to His call. Wasted years that I hate looking back on my life saying, boy, I wish I would have done more. I could have done more. And that's what the nation of Israel, they spent their years wandering around here in the book of Numbers. Numbers opens up and ends at the same spot. The story of Numbers begin where I want you to see, it was not God's fault. And when we fail, it is not God's fault. God gives us everything we need to succeed. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us an avenue. He gives us His phone number. He tells us we can call Him. You know, He gives us all those things. He gives us everything. And that's what He did for these people. They were perfectly organized and prepared as an organization was concerned. They were a nation. They had laws. They had faith. They had all the information they needed to worship God and how they could get the blessing of God. Doesn't that sound like us? We have everything we need. And it says at the end of the book, they are perfectly prepared again. Once again, God showing him mercy to these people. From the beginning to the end of the book, there is a time period of approximately 40 years there. That's from the wandering. These were the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The people had to learn obedience. They had to be taught that. Once again, they didn't learn in this first 13 months. You think they would have. They think the plagues would have been enough. Wasn't the plagues enough? The Red Sea would have been enough. Wasn't the Red Sea would have been enough? Mount Sinai would have scared anybody. Then you saw them worshiping that golden calf and they lost thousands of people to death because of what they did wrong. You thought that would have woke them up. And then they see what happens at the tabernacle. You thought that would have straightened them all out. They had to spend 40 years in the wilderness to learn that. And you say, boy, they were dumb. And we say in our own lives, how stubborn are we sometimes? God sometimes wants to teach us and show us things, but sometimes He has to take us places because He cares for us and He wants us to learn it. It shows us how this book shows us how disobedience is dealt with under the government of God. You say, that doesn't sound very good. That doesn't sound very fair. This is the way God works. He loves you. He doesn't want to leave you to yourselves. Just like if you love your child, you're not going to let them continue to disobey and disobey. You see the path they're headed. Look, I know you want to get here. Doesn't all kids want to grow up too fast? They said, I know you want to be 18. I know you want to have all this responsibility. I know you want to do all these things. Okay, for you to get here, you have to learn to obey here. Before you can ever get the car, before you can ever learn to date, before you can ever get these privileges, you have to learn to obey here. Because before you ever get there, you have to obey here. Because once you get over there, and if you disobey over there, it's going to be disaster. And that's what God's teaching the people. You have to learn to obey now. Because once you cross that Jordan River, you're a testimony to me. You're God's chosen people. You're going to face walls of Jericho. You're going to face giants over there. If you disobey now, I can only imagine what's going to happen over there. And that's what He's teaching them in the book of Numbers. You need to learn how to obey. There's a permanent value here. That one minute, again, so we talked, there's two permanent values in this book that I want to look at, and we need to do it quickly. The permanent value here is that, first of all, the first permanent value, doubt, lack of faith, and disobedience brings paralysis. Moses tells the discontent that came upon the people when they were in the wilderness for 13 months. 13 months. Don't think, I would have got bored after 40 years. I get that. But 13 months. What God did for those people, we talk about all those different things that God did. Now, you might think, Pastor, this doesn't sound like you, but it's not the easiest thing for the Israelites here. And yet they are a brand new nation. The only thing they've ever known is slavery. They never had to depend on themselves. They depended on the Egyptians, and then they got freed. Now they had to depend upon God. They're human beings. They think, they have emotions, they have feelings. This is not easy for the Israelites, but they had to learn how to trust God. And it's the same thing for us. Yes, it's not easy for us as humans because we have an old nature. Yes, we have emotions and we think and we feel. And we're not robots. And sometimes it'd be nice if we couldn't disobey God because we know that would be best. But, that this is what God's showing and teaching us here, is that we have to learn these things. And that's what He's showing in His book. You have to learn these things, and you have to be taught these things. So the first permanent value there is that, okay. I got a duplicate there of my thing there. So they took their eyes off of God. You say, I thought you said it was lack, doubt, all those other things. Yes, that's what it is. They took their eyes off of God. That's what the lack of faith is. That is what doubt is. We take our eyes off of God and look at the circumstances. Remember the 12 spies. The 12 men went to Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good. The 12 spies came back. Which caused the people to doubt? What's wrong with that? Pastor, there was giants. There were big walls. They were afraid for their children. What is wrong with that? Well, see, God had told them what He was going to give them. God had already promised them the land. So what they did is they have taken their eyes off of God's promises and placed them on circumstances. Doesn't that sound like us sometimes? takes their eyes off of God's promises and puts them in the circle. But now they are in the wilderness. They are doubting whether or not God can do it. You don't look at the situation in front of you. You look at the promise that God gave you. And here's the, if you're ever going to stand around and look at the giants and the walled cities, you will never do anything for God. Now, the majority is not going to agree with you. The mixed multitude is not going to agree with you. Many other believers are not going to agree with you. But it's the radical faith of Jacob and Joshua and Caleb that causes them to be able to go into the... They believe. They were in the minority. And that's where we got to get this and understand this. If I want to live for God, if I want to do anything for God, I can't look at the walls. I can't look at the giants. That's what Numbers is teaching us. Now, you can go and you get lots of stories, lots of illustrations, lots of messages out there. But when you look at it at a capsule size, you see this. They got afraid. They took their eyes off of God. And when they took their eyes off of God, God had to punish them. The majority had lost their vision of God. They had lost their confidence in God. What happened next? They started murmuring and griping. And in no time, the whole congregation was impacted. Now, how were they impacted? They were impacted in two different ways. They were murmuring through mixed motives. No longer did they were being selfish. Say, Pastor, selfish? Yes. Don't you realize why God brought them out of Egypt? He brought them to be a nation. He brought them to bring glory to him. He brought them here. That's the whole reason why they were created. The whole reason why he took Abraham out was for his glory and for his fellowship. That was their purpose. And they started thinking about themselves. Now, we are told in the book that they began to murmur. What is murmuring? It's an expression of selfishness. You ever heard murmuring? People just whining. What about that? What, we call it whining today, but murmuring is similar to, they were only concerned for themselves. Now, I like this line here. It says, if they would have realized fully, they were blessed of God to create a nation to fulfill the promise of God to the world through Abraham, things could have been different. You think about that. He's like, if they could have just realized their purpose, we look back at it and say, man, they were brought out of Egypt to bring Christ to the Messiah, to the world. And what a great privilege they had. But then we go to our own lives and we look at our own selves, apply it to our own lives. If we would realize fully what we were brought and what we were saved to do was to bring the light of the gospel to the rest of the world and to be able to glorify God with our bodies, then we would be fully understand. People could write books about us and say, well, why didn't they do this and why didn't they do that? Well, it's because of the fact we don't fully understand our purpose is that we are blessed by God as a group of people, as believers, to be able to fulfill a promise that God's given to the world, that all the world's going to be able to hear the gospel, but also, you know, to be a light, to show the world, to glorify God with our lives. They began to murmur about the flesh pots of Egypt, the leeks and the garlics and the onions. What's the problem with that? They wanted a compromise between being a nation of God, but also a people seeking their own comfort, and that is selfishness. They wanted both. Okay, God, I want to be that light. I want to glorify you. I want to make a difference in my family and this world, but I guess need things I want too. See, that's where the selfishness comes in. God saved us for a purpose and a reason. And there was murmuring through the mixed multitude. We're not going to go there because we don't have much time here and we want to try to finish up most of it. But this is the group of people that they listened to. If they didn't, and that, you know, is there a group of people that we're listening to that's trying to direct us away from being a blessing? That's somebody. There's a second permanent value. Now this one might kind of make you say, well, how do you see that? But think about it. The first permanent value was the fact when men lose their vision of God, doubt produces discontent, and discontent is followed by disaster. And that's what happens here. And I mean, I know I put in a lot of other words before, but you know, the fact that men lose their vision of God, doubt produces discontent, and discontent is followed by disaster. Second permanent value that we need, truth never changes. God's comfort and peace. Say, Pastor, I read through this book and I see God send fiery serpents. I see God kill people with fire. I see God, I don't see any comfort. I don't see any peace in there, but it's the fact that God loves us. That's the comfort. You think about it. There is a provision. In chapter 1 through 10, God tells them everything they need to be successful. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. He gives us everything we need to succeed. And that's, if you want to break down the chapters, there's lots of ways you can break it down. I broke it down in three different ways. The provisions of God, it's on your paper. In the first 10 chapters, God's telling them how things are supposed to be done. God provided everything they needed from Sinai to Cana. That is comfort and that's peace. They don't have to figure it out on their own. But also, you see the patience of God. You see, where's the patience of God? Well, you think about it. Sometimes when we're trying to teach somebody obedient, we're not that patient. I know that we're not dogs, but you ever try to house train a dog? You got to be patient with them. You got to keep on working with them, working with them. And same thing with children. You got to be patient. God here is patient with them. God punished the people when they sinned, but always with the goal that they would understand. This is what parents, you need to look at that and think about that. When we punish our kids, it's not because we have an authority kick or a power kick. We want them to understand what they were doing, what they did was wrong. We want them to teach. It took 40 years for them to learn this truth. Sometimes it takes us a while too. And that entire 40-year period, every time they disobey and doubted God, he corrected them. Every time he disobeyed, every time they did something wrong, God would say, I'm done with them. Forget it. And he says, you got to obey me. And this is why I was telling you here earlier. He was saying, look, you got to obey me here. If you can't obey me on this side of Jordan, if you can't obey me in the wilderness when I'm providing you food and I'm providing you shoes that don't wear out, when I'm doing all these things for you, if you can't obey me here, you can't cross the Jordan because you're not going to get, you're going to disobey me over there. And we see that they did because they weren't. And he said, if you want to get over there, and don't we want to get over there? Don't we want to be able to be successful for the Lord? But how are we going to get there? How are we going to make a difference? Is we got to learn to obey him here where we're at now. So if you want to get over there, and if you're disobedient, if you get over there and if you're disobedient, it's going to be disaster. You have to learn it now. We have to learn obedience now. And this is what the book of Numbers teaches us, is that there's comfort and patience there because God teaches us comfort and patience because he loves us, doesn't throw us away, he continues to work with us. And we see the persistence of God. When they began, it was at Kadesh Barnea. And this shows you the whole process in the wilderness was necessary for the eventual coming of the Messiah. What do you mean, Pastor? They had to learn this lesson to be able to be that people, to be used so the nation could, so the Messiah could come through it. That the divine purpose of the whole book, the divine purpose of the whole nation was to show the coming of the Messiah. This group of people, when they disobeyed God and they murmur and they complain, they were not ready to do that. So God takes them and teaches them and teaches their children through their parents or grandparents. God didn't quit on them. The comfort for the people of God is, even though you see rebellion after rebellion, God didn't give up on his people. Say, Pastor, you say that everybody else died. I know that. I know that in the 40-year walk that it was a severe punishment. We'll let those people go that had those special responsibilities, and we'll try to finish up here. We're going to close up with this living message. So, okay, what's the living message? You know, what do I apply to my life today? I think when I'm looking at this book, it talks about how God cannot be defeated. You know, God had a purpose for this people. And even though that they disappointed him, even though they failed, did his purpose still accomplish? And the answer is yes. He had a plan. He was not going to let it fall, the plan fall through the cracks. We learn in Exodus, God could not be defeated by the most powerful man on all the earth. Of course he couldn't be defeated by the most powerful man on the earth. He created him. God whooped him there. You know, the Red Sea, was that going to be a problem? No, the Red Sea couldn't stop him. Nothing was going to stop God and his purpose. But in Numbers, we see things flipped around. No longer is it the enemy of God that is fighting and trying to defeat God. Instead, it is the people of God that is standing against God. There's a difference there. They're doing the same thing. Does God's purpose stop then? No, the enemies of God couldn't stop God, and even God's own people couldn't stop God. And this is the living message. Was the purpose of God defeated? No, instead, God worked patiently and persistently and eventually taught these people, or those people, to trust in him. He taught them that. And that's what God's trying to do with us. Sometimes we stand in resistance to him. Sometimes we stand in rebellion. But he's trying to teach us what we need to know to be able to provide his purpose in this world. You look at it from a capsule standpoint. God's God's going to get his purpose done. Herod tried to kill Jesus. They tried to stop Jesus coming in the book of Esther. They tried to stop Jesus coming all throughout the Bible. The Egyptians, when they were killing the male Jews, you know what they're trying to do? The devil's trying to stop Jesus from coming. Same thing in Esther, getting rid of all the Jews. Oh, that wasn't just a fun thing. The devil was trying to get people to Jesus, stop Jesus from coming. The whole capsule of the Bible is, why did he kill all the babies in Bethlehem? Because they were trying to kill Jesus, because they didn't want Jesus to make it to the cross. God's plan was going to be done. It's God's way or else. Even Moses was not allowed in the land, showing that God was not a respecter of persons. So how do we apply this to our life? What is our attitude towards God? I know, what is it that, how do we look at God? How do we see him? See, our attitude towards opportunity reveals our attitude towards God. What do you mean, Pastor? God brings opportunities in our lives. Some we really don't want. Past week, there's a couple things that came in my life that says, I didn't really need that. I could live without that. That I didn't really see. But when I look at that opportunity, it's how I look at God. Our attitude towards opportunity reveals our attitude to God. I got to look at everything that God brings in my life as a way he's trying to teach me and show me and guide me and direct me. Once again, this is a capsule of things. Is it hard to look at your life individually, circumspectly like that? Yes. Of course it is, because we're humans. We have nature, an old nature, that we have feelings and we have emotions. But when we go back to the nation of Israel, when we look at this, God teaches us through his word, it's his way that is best. Are we murmuring and discontented with God's governing in our lives? I don't think sharing prayer requests, asking people to pray for you, even laying your burdens to someone else, obviously you need to do that God first, but talking to someone else, there's nothing wrong. Make sure you're talking to the right person. You're not talking to the mixed multitude. You're talking about believers that are living for the Lord. But when we murmur and complain, you know what we're being like? We're being like the children of Israel. That's pretty harsh, Pastor. Well, they had it pretty rough too at times. And God says that they were murmuring and complaining. How do we look at our lives? Where are we coming across in? What's our attitude towards the opportunities we have? Now, sometimes those opportunities are good. Sometimes those opportunities are not good. But when we look at that, how we view that is how we view our God. Because God lets things come into our lives to teach us and show us and make us what he wants us to be. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord.